You're listening to Coriander Society Adventures, a Casters and Castles production. This is episode 20, Asena's Secret.
Welcome back to Coriander Society Adventures, everybody. Hope we're all doing well. Hope we're all hunky-dory. When we last left our heroes, they believed they'd discovered young Sally's special ability. They were sitting down for a nice meal of hamburgers and cucumber sandwiches and tea and coffee in the secret laboratory, and they were making their plans on where to go next. Now, I will point out, you guys are still on narrative time, so just because you're close to Aelberg doesn't mean you have to go there first. But if you want to punch people, you should go there first. Not that there aren't people to punch elsewhere, but like there will definitely be people to punch in Aelberg. So, the floor is yours, my friends, as you sit and eat.
John is going to like just scooch on over to Asena and like put his arm around her and pull her in and be like looking over at Gaston. Hey, you want to be a little punchy, huh?
Oh, John, you know I love to and especially but again, we got to take the kids to Donahue. It'll be quick.
Yeah, you're
one conversation with her and the people who work with her, and we're out. We'll be cracking the skulls of ne'er-do-wells before you even know it, I promise.
Yeah.
And believe me, John, I'm loving this energy. Keep it up.
If they had said they wanted to fight, then, like, let's do it. But I don't think they were kind of into it, so.
Yeah, no, you're right. Okay.
We'll take them out for a play date. Later on.
That is an incredible idea, Senna. And I don't know why I'm so like megalomania power hungry right now. I mean, we just killed a bunch of scientists and robots and gangsters. I honestly should be pretty sated, but I think it kind of got me fired up. And now I want to just clean up the streets of Northport.
Yeah. I'm so into it. Please keep that energy. Just a little longer.
I'm here for it. You know what? It'll be okay. It'll be all right. Okay, so then how about this? How do you guys feel about if we head on down to Donahue, we can maybe do a little bit of confront the Carringtons, at least grill them for some information about the picture or anything else that we deem necessary. And then we can work our way back either to the Essex Hotel, maybe found out what Ben and Charlie came up with. And we can go from there. I'd like to talk to Nancy Rain before long, because I really feel like she's going to have a large piece of this puzzle that we're working on.
That sounds like a great plan, John.
I want to meet her, too.
There you go.
Yeah.
Creepy.
Thought we'd have to convince you. This is great.
Yeah.
And we can have that whole Dances with Wolves scene. You know, it'll be great.
What?
It was so surreal the first time I watched it.
What are you talking about?
The movie Dances with Wolves.
All right. So. Oh. Yep. Yeah, this is the universal signal for out of character. You.
Yeah, true. But I think it's fair to say we're going to travel
because they're all dead.
Donahue Institute. Wow, that is just so sadly morbid. Can we just start walking?
Mate, quick question: where did we leave the car when we went to the cemetery, or when we went to the morgue initially?
And the car made up.
No, we had a real car that Donahue lent.
Right.
Okay,
she lent us,
but I kind of just took it.
Yeah, that car probably got towed. You guys did not return to the scene of the crime. You have no idea where that car is.
We didn't. But that's what I'm wondering. So depending on like where we left it off, we could go to the nearest tow yard and I could get that car back and bring it back to Donahue. Because if I don't, that's not going to be choice. Plus, we kind of need...
That might be fun, though, if we show up and you don't have her car.
That would be kind of funny. She's right. Yeah.
Could we not do that? I mean, weren't you guys trying to make me look good? Like, what happened? Where is that 180? True.
Well, actually, is John even going? Because remember, last time he did not go.
Yeah, he didn't go last time.
Actually, I have. Okay, how about this? I'll go get the car out, but you guys can bring a surrogate me. And at that, John is going to pull out from under his trench coat a Chester.
Okay. A Chester.
Wait.
Yeah.
Is there more than one?
Well, here's the thing. This is not an illusion. This is a living, breathing facsimile of a of a purple and blue, like, I don't know, tabby? I don't know if it's the right word. Jungle cat.
I don't believe you.
And I pet it to see if it's
real. I go ahead and gently pass the cat over, well, cat, over to Asena.
The cat
try to pet it.
Is, what's its fur like? What's the texture of the fur like?
It's really soft. Like, it looks like kind of a frizzy wild mess, but when you pet it, it feels almost heavenly. Like, you have never pet a cat as soft and, but not just soft, like soft and sturdy. This does not feel like a cat that you would easily like crunch down when you pet. It like kind of leans into the pet and it's and it has that really nice purr, but instead of it just being like a, it kind of has a nice little, there's a bass to it. Like if Joe was to do it, you know? Like if Joe was to do it. There you go. Thank you. I mostly just wanted Joe to purr on camera.
Yeah, I know. I know. I aim to please.
Keep it together. Okay, I'm so stoked. Like, I'm going to pick it up and, like, put it on my shoulder to, like, see if it'll, like, hang out on my shoulder.
Plop.
This will work. This will do. I mean, I'm really sad that you're not going to be there, but, like, I'm real also now excited about Chester because Chester wouldn't let me pet him before.
Well, that's because Chester didn't exist before. But you guys took such a liking to them that I decided, hey, I'll just make a real Chester. So, you know, here we are.
I don't know what that means. I'm not going to think about it too much.
Don't worry about it too much. Also, I technically will be there. And John goes over to Gaston and puts a hand on his shoulder. Please don't move too far right now. And John snaps his fingers. His eyes go white and kind of roll back into his head. And this is mostly for you, Joe, but I'm now looking through the eyes and ears and senses of Chester the cat.
All right.
Oh. Hey, Chester, can you, like, can I talk to John through this? Because I'm going to need the questions.
Meow.
You can hear John from across the room. Yeah, no, I can totally hear you, Senna. I mean, not I can't. I'm blind and deaf right now, but the cat can.
Wow.
Can you talk through the cat? Is that what this is?
No.
Wow.
It's less like I'm body like swapping with the cat and more so that Chester is now my eyes and ears and I have a very light amount of control over Chester. I can't like just take over and dominate my little friend. But we have an understanding and generally I can command or at least suggest certain courses of action. And Chester gets some very nice nom-noms in return for such a thing, doesn't he, buddy?
Meow!
Wait, when you said not, don't go too far, what did you mean? Because aren't we going to quite literally the other side of Northport?
And at that, the cat's head kind of shakes for a moment as John returns to his senses. No, I just can't see or hear anything that's going on when that happens, so mostly I didn't want to fall over or something.
Right.
Oh, is this like a demo?
This is a trial run.
I see, yeah. I see. Okay, now I understand. All right. So are you just going to, like, give us the cat when we get close?
I mean, I absolutely can do that.
Is this a split-up angle? Is that what this is? Is the car that important?
Here's the thing. If you guys ever want whatever you think happened between Donahue and I to get any better, I got to bring that car back. You guys seem way more
your face more than her car.
If Philip's there, probably not. And Philip's probably there. So, DM.
What if we shoot Philip?
Oh God, please don't. We kind of need him.
Okay, was just testing how far this bloodless John is going.
I mean, here's the thing, though. If you so happen to have a gadget that, like, would shock his hand when you shake with him the first time or something like that, that would be hilarious and wonderful, and I would love that.
I would like to make that.
Okay. You know what? You found a bunch of parts in the lab, so you quickly get, like, a joy buzzer, and it can be set anywhere from... Let's see, I know what spell we're going to treat this like. You can set it from anywhere from an annoying little, you know... to like 2d8 damage, probably.
Is that Shock Hands?
Yeah, it's Shocking Grasp, essentially. It's a, you have a Shocking Grasp, and it's unlimited use. So,
cool.
But it can be set all the way from annoy to stun to kill.
Oh my god!
Is that like a thing I need to set with like an action, a bonus action, or I can just be like, I'm going to shake his hand with the thing, and I'm going to set phasers to kill.
Oh my god!
It takes an action to use it, but setting the power level is an incidental.
What does that mean?
It means it's free.
Cool.
Yeah, and per Shocking Grasp, not only do they take the damage, but as long as it's set to at least stun, and like annoy won't do it, but if it's set to at least stun, they can't take reactions until the start of their next turn.
Heck yes. Oh my gosh.
If there's somebody who's like a guard who's in the wrong place at the wrong time and you don't want to kill them, you can just zap them and then run past them and they can't smack you.
Or you could probably do one of those like cool, I'm not going to kill them, but I'm going to like try and punch them. But instead of doing the punch, you do the zap hand or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Absolutely.
So much better than I thought it would be.
Yeah, have it.
I am glad that that's a thing. That's wonderful. So, mate, where was the police department?
That's an
Where did we come out? I feel like we came out on this side of the world when we were going through the
XP.
XP for everybody.
Read all about it.
You guys ended up under the Black Rose, remember?
Yeah. So then, technically, it should be somewhere in Old Town. Is likely where this car is impounded. Mm-hmm. Cool. I'm going to look for a car impound place in Old Town. That's where I'm going to go while they're off doing that, and then I'll look through the cat periodically.
All right. So give me an investigation check, but I'm not going to tell you the result just yet.
Oh, give it to you right now. Okay, I can do that. Oh, dude, I am so good at investigating. This is my thing, dude. This is my thing.
And before natural one. You have disadvantage on this because you called shout out.
Yes. Yep. I did realize that. And I still got a 19. Boom. Bring it. I don't care. Disadvantage. Just advantage with a different name, baby.
All right. Well done. So you're going to be on the hunt. Let's see. All right, we already had this. We did this. All right, cool. And for the record, Gaston has advantage right now, and I used that up last time. And the first person to use a hypno gun has advantage waiting in the wings.
Ooh, nice.
Inspiration. All right, so moving right along, the lot of you cross town with a gaggle of gifted youngsters in tow, and you arrive once more at the Donahue Academy for the Gifted. It's this big old mansion sprawling on a hill, green lawn, tennis courts, garages, what used to be a stable but no longer keeps horses. It's been repurposed probably to students' quarters or something like that. High fence all the way around it, surrounding it to keep nosy folks out. And as you go in there, you see people practicing with their abilities. You see a big old marble bust floating through the air as somebody like tries to keep it aloft. You see two speedsters in a race just zooming around the entire area. You see somebody flying. It looks like an accident. As they fly out the window and just sort of start going to the left until somebody else grabs them by a line that's attached to them and reels them back in. And as you go up the big, it's got one of those classic driveways, like a brick driveway that goes in a horseshoe shape with a big old fountain surrounded by flowers in the middle. And it leads up to, you know, where you'd walk up the main stairs. There's another very nice car parked there with a valet watching over it. So, the lot of you roll up. You've got a whole bunch of gifted in tow. What do you do?
Let's go talk to Opal Donahue.
We just walk up to the door or something?
I don't know
what the proper procedures are.
There's 100% somebody, like a butler at the door, asking for your business, but...
Okay, so it's going to be something to the tune of, listen, man, I'm going to preface this by mentioning that we're not going to be taking any questions, like any questions about what I'm about to tell you. We found these gifted youngsters and figured this was the best place for them to be since, yeah, we're not exactly equipped to deal with them. So, yeah, reminder, no questions.
Okay. Let's try this. Try this a different. Hold on. Mr. Sir, we request a meeting with Mrs. Opal Donahue to discuss these children that we have in tow.
And what specific. He looks over and he sees a dude with crab hands. Like trying to get a piece of fluff off of his jacket and failing, and goes, very good, right this way. And he'll just go ahead and open the door, and you once again enter. It's this, it's got these two big old sweeping staircases that go down, and a beautiful chandelier over the top, marble floors, red carpets, fine polished old wood. Also, chat has triggered an act of God, so I got to figure out what I'm going to do with that.
Oh,
not ninjas. Give us something nice this time. Something nice. Unless they're nice ninjas.
I have an idea.
That is hard to decide.
I have an idea, but we'll get to that. And you are ushered once again up into Miss Donahue's office. And as you enter, a dashing young man wearing a very fine jaunty hat exits the office. And you can hear Opal saying, it'll just be just a moment. I'll be right back with you. Let me see if I have an image of this lad. I do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's him.
It is Where none other than Philip Carrington.
That's the guy that replaced John.
I mean, yeah, kind of, but he's also the guy we got to talk to.
Chester kind of like...
Not about John.
Looks up at you. You're still holding Chester, right, Asena?
Yeah, just...
Yeah.
He like looks up at you, he's like... When you talk about replacing John, just kind of goes back to resting.
I love the idea that a lot of the stuff that Gaston and John say is them thinking to themselves, but a lot of the stuff Asena's inner dialogue is outer dialogue.
Exactly. Yeah.
It seems as if Philip is going to pick up on whatever it is that you're saying, but then he sees this entire group that you've got in tow. Asena and Gaston, roll insight checks, please.
I still have advantage on.
We'll take the first one. All right. He seems pleasantly surprised, enthusiastic. As he goes out, he seems to know his way around the place. He strolls away. You all shuffle into Opal's office. She looks at this huge group of people. She is delighted.
Mate, can I interject for a second?
Yes, you can.
Could Chester just hop out of Senna's arms for a moment and just go rub up against Philip Carrington's leg and just leave a lot of hair for a moment?
Purple and blue hair on him?
All over his nice, like, trimmed suit, yeah.
All right. Yeah, totally fine. He looks...
And, like, one of those really long, like, stretching nudges that, like, gets really high up the leg.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like... The back arches, you know.
Oh, yeah. And I feel like I want to describe Chester is very, like, Maine Coon size, like, big cat. Mm-hmm. Stealthy and quick, but big cat.
Mm-hmm.
And then after doing that, runs back over and then stands looking up at Asena expectantly.
I'll pick him back up.
There we go. And he settles right back into where he was.
I see what you did there. Maybe you should go say hi to Opal.
Meow.
All right. Opal's delighted to see everybody, and she wants to hear all about it. She wants to meet everybody. She is eager to see you. She has some questions about the whole thing that went down at the police department. That got rather messy, and her name was invoked to get you into the police department. So, but on the other hand, it looks like you just rescued 5 or 6 gifted. So she's eager to hear you out before she makes any judgment calls.
How many kids are with us again? 5?
You've got Quirk, Extra, Sally, Claws, and definitely not Toad. So you got 5 with you.
Yeah, Opal. There's actually 6, but we'll get to that. So I guess we just kind of... Oh, okay. I feel like we should lie to her, because I have no interest in being like, hey, we broke into Thornacre and took these kids out, blah, 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 blah. Because that just seems dumb. How about... I'm going to go with... All right, Opal, I'm going to tell you what I told the guy outside the door. Really need you to not ask questions about this. But long story short, we found these kids in a place. They don't want to be there anymore. We told them about your place. They said, hey, we want to go there. And now we're here. Does that sound cool?
Roll persuasion check, Gaston. Is Asana chiming in at all on this?
She's clearly uncomfortable with the lying.
Mm-hmm.
Everything I said in that sentence was true.
Roll a deception check, Gaston. Omission. Just yeah. Omission. Not, you know. That's all.
How apropos.
Pain.
Magnificent.
Yeah.
All right, Asana, as he's being incredibly casual about this, sweat beads on his forehead, and his eye twitches, and you're clearly uncomfortable, Opal looks over at you. Just looks at you for a moment, Asana.
I'm scared. She's a very strong lady. I remember being here before.
Oh, thank. This is not the same lady.
She was there. Well, she was nice, yeah, but.
All right. So Opal starts giving all of the kids the same spiel that she gave the first ones that you rescued. You know, this is a place where you'll be safe and welcome, just as you are, where you'll be free to explore the extent of your abilities and kept safe from those who would exploit you. You know, we're going to go ahead and set you up with food. We're going to set you up with beds. We're going to introduce you to all these other folks. And as she's saying this, you can hear footsteps out in the hall that are just a little louder and more echoey.
Do you have to have her show up every single time? Doesn't she have teaching to do?
Weird that. Chester perks up and the hair, you know, his hair sort of pops up as Hara steps into the door.
Oh man, fun's over.
Silver hair, severe looking glasses, well dressed. And again, the air in the room changes the moment she walks in. Gaston, your new device that you've built sparks and zaps you. Very, very light. Just like if you're scuffling around in dry weather, you know. Pssst.
What the hell?
It like goes off and zaps you a little bit. And Asana, you again. This reminds you of being in the jungle when there is a jaguar somewhere out there in the trees looking at you. That's what this feels like, except worse. So she walks into the room, sort of runs her eyes over all the gifted who are present, looks at Gaston. It's a piercing stare. Those silver gray eyes of hers, they seem laser focused in on you, Gaston, for a moment.
Why does it always be? I'm just going to awkwardly wave hi. Like, hi.
She looks over at Asana. Her eyes drift down to the tooth that you're wearing, and then up to the cat. Roll insight checks, both of you. All right, 12 and 11. All right. She looks at the cat for a moment. Her eyes narrow. John, roll a perception check.
Like the cat's perception check or my perception check?
Yeah, whichever.
Is it perception, right?
Perception, yeah.
An 11.
All right.
Or sorry, 15. I have 15. An 11 bonus. Mm. Sorry, whoop, my apologies.
All good. You can see her lock eyes directly with the cat for a moment. She does not slow blink away, which is what you should do with a cat. And then she, children, this way, and just leads them out of the room.
Well, that was a little too easy.
The cat has one of those, like, almost like Miyazaki level, like, spine chills up the backside of the cat. Very, very briefly, as soon as Hara's gaze finally is lifted from it.
All right. Opal's overjoyed. Like, she understands the need for discretion. You know, she's been familiar with these sorts of arrangements in the past with other procurers for her. But really, all that she cares about is that these people are safe and that they're away from anyone who would exploit them. And she's confident that they can tend to their safety. So, all that being said and done, she wants to know... She would like to hear about what happened at the police station.
I don't remember what happened.
Well, it kind of blew up.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Oh. The morgue thing.
Yeah, I remember we went to the morgue.
Yeah.
That
was a really scary day.
Yeah. That is definitely when we found out about certain things.
That was the day that Rosamond got in my brain.
That is true. That did happen. She probably said that out loud too, so there's no
way. Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Hmm, Rosamond. He's been a plague to the gifted in this town ever since he became active. He and Zorbius and their little war with all the poor young folk of this city as their pawns makes me sick.
Couldn't agree more. And I'm trying to remember what happened there.
I'm not here, so I can't say anything.
Correct.
It was something to the tune of we were in the police station. Believe it or not, a body came back to life. That was a whole thing, and we were just dealing with that. I don't remember why something exploded, but we just decided we would get blamed for it and left.
Hmm. Well, it has complicated my affairs to a certain degree and my relationship with the police department.
And I deeply, deeply apologize for that, even though we technically didn't do that, but
you know how it goes. It doesn't really matter. A lie is halfway around the world before the truth even has its fine fancy shoes on. And if these are the sorts of results that you're going to bring, I am more than happy to weather a storm with the local authorities in exchange for saving lives and bettering lives. You have my gratitude. You're doing excellent work. How can I repay you?
I told you she was a good person.
Well, I remember... You did. Remember how I said there was six of them?
Yes.
Yeah.
So there are some issues with the sixth one. We didn't bring her because, we can't. She's kind of stuck right now. In a pod. She can't really leave it. And, It's due to the nature of her her gift, if you will, and I am in the process, along with another associate of mine, trying to see if we can help her. And I don't know, would want some input from you. Some help, maybe.
What sort of help are you looking for?
The only thing that really comes to mind is that... So her power is based around, like, darkness, right? And there is a particular substance that would greatly, greatly aid me in sort of... look, cards on the table. I'm trying to build a suit for her so she can leave this pod and actually interact with the world. And by trying to, I mean I have barely drawn up the blueprints. I am quite literally at square one. And I think the only thing that I would like really help would be if you could somehow get this substance. Problem is, it can only be found through a certain creature that is in like the deep, deep depths of the ocean outside of Northport, and I don't know how to get there.
Sena, it looked for a moment like you were going to say something. Were you going to interject?
Yeah, I was just gonna like spit out like, it's that big mobster's daughter.
The cat like slowly just turns and looks up at Sena and is like, just goes back.
Who?
What's his name? Giotto.
Link and Giotto's daughter.
Yeah. She's gifted, and that's why I didn't want Gaston to kill her. So we took her.
I was never going to kill her. I was trying to help her. That's what I'm doing now.
Okay, Gaston wanted to take her out. I thought that was a bad idea because she could die. But she's in a pod because her shadow form or whatever she has is taking her over. So all this fluid stuff stops that from happening.
That's true.
But yeah, we might have her.
No, we literally have her.
We have her.
Yeah.
Not might, we do.
I was going to say, that's kind of what this whole thing was about.
The cat jumps off of Asena, goes and finds a nearby chair, and just sits down watching all of this, looking mildly annoyed.
I was expecting you to just, like, stick for the Chester to stick his face into, like, the back of a chair and be like, ow! Just batting
his head. It goes into a wall. Boom.
Asena's gonna like audibly be like, what the heck? You're upsetting me now?
Very brief aside, John. The car was not taken to a simple impound lot. The car was taken to the police department as evidence because there were very few survivors from the explosion. Nobody knows what happened to the people who blew up in the explosion, the people who showed up. And so the car is being processed. It's in evidence lockup, essentially.
Cool. I'm going to take it out of there. we don't have to make a big scene about it, but I've got a lot of magic, a lot of time, and I don't mind rolling some skill checks behind the scenes if you'd like.
Yeah, start coming up with some good montage, cool bits and bobs that we can throw at it later, all right?
Cool. I'm on it.
All right. Opal, let's see.
I'm actually really into being Cat John right now, so...
Perfect. Opal taps her fingers together. Lincoln Chiodo's daughter.
Yeah. For what it's worth, he doesn't know it was us. And until we can deal with it, I would like... I think it would be best if that stayed that way.
Yeah, but Zorbius might know it was us.
Zorbius is a very far away place right now. I think we have some time. Yeah. Giotto's working with Dr. Zorbius.
We fought him on a big TV screen.
he wasn't actually there. It's a long story.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am not going to back down from the people who need my help, regardless of who they are or where they come from, or who stands in the way. You have done something very brave.
And someone calls stupid, but thank you.
Just made things a little bit more complicated. So there's a number of angles we're going to need to take this.
I'm listening.
Okay. Philip! He pokes his head back in. A couple moments later, he pokes his head back in. You can smell upscale cigars on him. Yes, Opal. Would you come in and introduce yourself to these fine folks here? There's something we could use your help with. He sits himself down. He doesn't quite do like the Commander Riker thing where he steps over the chair, but you know, he sits down and brushes a little ash off of his fine jacket. Pleasure to meet you. My name is Philip Carrington. And with whom do I have the pleasure of making acquaintance today?
Gaston Tolsto.
Hi, up? Mr. Philip. I'm Asena. I hope Philip sat in the chair that Chester was sitting in.
Well, I mean, I guess he did now. What happens with Chester?
I didn't want to interrupt, but I was going to say that Chester would try to jump up and then like screw his feet when he tries to sit down. So this is kind of perfect. If he goes and just doesn't even notice the giant cat sitting in the chair and goes to sit down, the cat jumps out and like trips him up as it goes running across the room. But I'm making him stumble into his chair, like taking that grandiose entrance and capping off with a horrible, clumsy, oafish thing.
All right. So Chester runs under his feet and you can see him slip for a moment. And he lands in. He's like, nails the landing. Acts like it's completely nice. Deliberate.
Nice.
That was fancy.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's Chester there.
Charmed. We've already been acquainted. What can I do for you? Opal says to him. So, our latest batch of students may have some sort of entanglement with Mr. Giotto. Ah. Okay. All right. That complicates things. I've been told that you're a good sort, you two. Doing good work. You know, maybe bending the rules here and there. Not afraid to knock some heads around. I respect that. There's a higher calling than the municipal code. So...
Is there rules we should know of?
I'll explain later.
Okay. Never mind.
Yeah, so I'd be happy to help. And Opal's going to say, I'm going to go get Hara. We're going to need her expertise. This is a complicated issue. Hara's going to assist with the technical specifications of your project, Gaston. Philip can perhaps help with the social ramifications thereof. And Opal exits the room, leaving the two of you plus Chester in the room with Philip Carrington. Ooh. All right, so Mr. Giotto's daughter, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a pickle.
I think her name is Florence. That's the whole barrel. What was it?
Oh, Florence?
It was Florence.
Yeah. One of the twins. Yeah, I haven't really seen much of her. I'd heard that she was sick. I had no idea it was, something a little bit more than that.
Yeah, that's about how I'd describe it. I mean, the long and short of it is her power is something she can't control. Mm-hmm. And a lot of art, the only way she doesn't kind of disappear or cease into the darkness is through a lot of machinery, and I'm trying to make it not so she can actually interact and not sit in a pod for the rest of her life.
Yeah, I'll be honest, my specialty is more of a conventional architecture. You know, I've got an eye for design. You may have heard of Tomorrowtown. That's mostly me. But I tend to leave a lot of
I don't know what that is.
Oh, you haven't heard about it? We are building a place that is going to revolutionize how Commonwealth citizens live, work, and relax. We're going to revitalize the Bouchard District and introduce a whole new standard of modern living to every class of Northport citizen. If you look over across the river next time that you're over there, you see that new development right next to the studio district. That is Tomorrow Town.
I'm just going to, like, scowl at it. You guys kind of ruined the river. There's a lot of pollution over there.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's all part of phase four of the project. You know, once we've got the initial development in place, we need to revitalize the industrial sections of town. Mm-hmm. Roll insight checks, both of you. And Chester, because you're remoting in. You may not be able to communicate anything about it, Matt, but John can roll an insight check here as well. Okay, Asena, he's telling the truth. Asena and John, you can both tell. He's telling the truth, but he's not saying everything. Hmm. But as I was saying, I'm mostly involved from a philanthropic and development side for Opal's projects. Opal has a lot of the human aspect of this whole thing. Really, she's a visionary. I truly believe she has what's best in mind for every citizen of Northport. But when it comes to the more specific matters, I tend to rely on Hara's expertise. Matt. I gain one XP.
Darn it! While Philip's in the middle of this, Chester is going to pop out from under the desk, saunter over, and at first just sit at Philip's feet while he's explaining this, but when he says the little thing that kind of piques Chester/John's interest, he's gonna kind of rub up against the leg, kind of, you know, hey, I'm friendly, and then hop up on to Philip's lap,
okay,
and do the making biscuits and like curling around and just like doing the whole like, hey, now you're trapped here because a cat's sitting on you.
The most powerful spell of all.
And whenever Philip says something that seems like he's not giving much enough information, John's gonna have him make biscuits a little too hard into his thigh.
I'm familiar with this sensation. All right, he does his best to grit through it, but you know, he keeps goes ahead and continues talking about it. So as I said, I handle most of that. So what we can do here, you have a very delicate situation on your hands, and the Donahue Academy is definitely prepared to accept this student, regardless of the ramifications thereof. But I've got contacts and I have resources that I'd be happy to put at your disposal to make sure that the transfer occurs smoothly.
And how do we know? I mean, you sound like someone respectable, but we don't really know you. Why should we trust you?
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. Opal can vouch for me. She has, between the two of us, she's put the lives of all these young folk effectively in my hands. It was her dream, her vision, and her willpower that created all this with my backing, my financial backing. So.
Oh yeah, you're a rich guy.
Okay, well, we're happy to transfer her over, but I have to help her deal with her issue first.
Of course.
Okay. Well, like I was telling Opal, honestly, the only thing I really need is that substance. What's the name of the trench called, Joe? Like that area?
The Abyssal Trench.
Yes. It's from a creature, a luminescent creature from the Abyssal Trench. And it is, as far as I know, the only place we can find it. And I have no way to get there.
That is difficult.
Yeah.
But not insurmountable.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much in the way of... I'm sure with the right contacts, we could get a craft capable of descending down. It'd have to be something pretty cutting edge. I don't know of anyone off the top of my head. You'd need a ship to get out there, obviously. That can be managed. Not an issue. Not an issue. You need a crew, sailors, mechanists, the works. Now, I'm sure you understand, we'd have to do our own analysis, make sure that, you know, it's Florence and that she's in good health and and just double check everything. But if all that clears out, then I'd be happy to sponsor an expedition to get you the supplies you need if it's vital to her health.
Do you sponsor a lot of expeditions?
No, most of my projects are local. Most of my projects are local. My father is more into the dallying about overseas sorts of thing. Oh. Sorry, my grandfather. Grandfather, yeah.
What would you need for verification exactly?
Well, we just need to, you know, have somebody who knows what they're doing, which I'll eagerly confess is not me, take a look at her. Whatever Hara has to say about this, I trust completely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That works.
Is there anything else I can do for you folks? I'll start drawing up the plans and ringing some folk on the line, having my people call their people gladly for you. But, yeah, is there anything else I can do to assist?
So, what was it we also had that we wanted to question?
First off, you have a file on Philip Carrington. It is, I popped it up on your screen, and he's in the characters section. Second, the Mercury City bombing, the Mercury City Hospital bombing occurred 10 months ago. It was linked to the Army of the Eclipse. The Carringtons, Foster Talon believed that the Carringtons were members of the Army of the Eclipse. Let me see if I can pull up another note for you that I might have made. To confront the Carringtons. Yes. So, the Army of the Eclipse sponsored the expedition 22 years ago that Asena was discovered in. The Army of the Eclipse is blamed for the destruction of Mercury City Hospital. Philip Carrington and his family are all suspected members of the Army of the Eclipse. So you need to find out who was on that expedition and learn if the Army of the Eclipse was responsible for the Mercury City bombing, and if so, why?
Okay. I guess the first part I can just kind of ask flat out. Well, since we're here waiting for Opal and Hara to come back, there's something I've wanted to ask, kind of unrelated. Your family sponsored an expedition out to Zolquia years ago. I'm talking like decades ago. Do you know anything about that?
Roll persuasion, Gaston. All right. Give me one sec. My wife just locked herself out of the house.
Oh, okay.
Be entertaining while I go rescue her.
No problem.
I'm going to start speaking cat.
Feel like I could have asked that question.
Be able to communicate with Chester.
You understand Chester. Might. You could try. You could certainly try.
I don't think you can talk through Chester.
You basically try to tell Chester what to say, right? I don't even know how that works.
So, yes, technically, Chester, within the realm of our connection, obeys my commands. So, technically, if I did command it to speak in cat something, then if the Senate could understand it, then yes, I guess technically in a weird way, I'd be able to communicate with the cat. But this all has to go through our DM, mind you.
Okay. Gaston, we're going to pretend like Philip can't hear us. We're whispering.
I mean, I don't think anything's actually happening at the moment.
Should we let him know that we found Foster Talon? I mean, that might make him upset.
No. I think at this point he doesn't, like...
Let's make him upset.
No. You've already done enough of saying things you shouldn't say, so I need you to not do that.
What? I think that helped us out a lot.
It did, but I don't think it will with this guy.
Crisis averted.
Woo!
Woo!
Did I miss anything?
The door.
No.
It's a thing where you walk out the side door and you lock it, And then slow-mo as you realize you don't have the keys.
Yep.
Or shoes.
Oh, yeah. No. Hey, mate, question.
Mm-hmm.
If John, let's just say, for instance, commanded Chester to just say something in cat. And let's just say that Senna was able to speak and understand cat. What's the likelihood of
by
a primal entity?
By the established internal logic of this world, I hate you, and that would work.
In my defense, Janessa came up with it. So.
Well, yeah. Inspiration for Janessa.
I'm just the mouthpiece for a great idea.
Yeah, I'm giving Janessa a point of inspiration, and I am permitting this. I'm going to allow it.
I'm going to allow it.
All right.
I was going to ask, though, mate, if I need to get my own stuff done, I'm kind of assuming that in the story, when it would make sense, John's periodically checking in as Chester, but for the most part,
absolutely.
He's kind of half and half, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So he's in a taxi, just like waiting to go somewhere. He's like, okay, I've got like 10 minutes, and go. Okay, it's been long enough. Let me just check back in. You know, that kind of a thing.
Sir, this is your spot. Sir? Sir, is he dead? Shake, shake, shake.
God damn it, Senna! Oh my god!
Like, he just looks over you and your eyes in the back of your head. More sleep, more sleep, sleep, more sleep, more.
Meow, 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 meow. Meow, meow.
This one's meowing. I don't know what it is. Is this something in the water? All right. So, first off, yes, that's allowed. Second, Philip gives you a look, Gaston. And, let's see. I mean, yes, but I don't really remember anything about that. I apologize. I would have been 3 years old at the time.
Right, of course. Shoot, that is a good point. He's probably not that old.
But his father was, or his grandfather.
Yeah. Right? So, but is his grandfather alive?
Yes. And his mother. His grandfather is alive.
Hmm.
That said, I think I was on it. I do recall flying over the jungles and seeing villages and. But I was very young. I can scarcely recall it.
But I thought it crashed. You don't remember? Do you remember a crash?
I think it did. Again, it's been years and years and years. There was something bad happened.
And he's just got, like a little uncomfortable, kind of just staring at the ground.
Wow, that's tough.
Chester's gonna biscuit a little bit, like go too hard when he's doing these kind of things.
Easy there.
Okay, that being said, who was with you on the expedition from your family?
My father. And, my sister. Neither of them came back. Everyone else was just, must have been old folk, honestly. Nobody who I'd know by name.
Sorry, I cut out for like 3 seconds. What was that?
My father, my sister. Neither of them came back. Opal.
Wait.
Her sister. Josiah Parsons. Yes, Josiah Parsons.
What was your sister's name?
Evelyn.
Opal was there.
You guys picking up what I'm picking up on here? Starting to connect some dots. Starting to...
Wink, wink, nudge, looks and glances. Need I say more? Know what I mean?
Yeah, do I? If I could zoom in the camera, I'd be zooming it in right now.
Matt, do you mind? Thank you.
Thank you.
Much appreciated. But yes, the Donahues were there with their children, Opal and Rose. My father, I was there. My sister, Evelyn, Josiah Parsons, and Draken DeVry.
What?
Draken DeVry.
The cat and meow?
He looks down at the cat.
I guess he really hates that name. Okay. I am like, wow, my brain is going like a million miles a minute just because I'm literally trying to think, like, can we trust this guy? He's not telling the whole story, but I'm pretty sure that's the Seda's brother.
Mate, can you drop those names in chat real quick?
Yep, I'm going to drop them. All right, so.
Asena, too, is just, like, kind of freaking out, so she's just going to, like, stand by the window.
Can I ask him for, like, excuse me, can you just give us, like, one quick second, Philip?
No, by all means.
Cool. Asena, come over here.
All right. The cat goes over there too.
Yeah, Tester, come here, whatever. So, Sina, I don't know if you are seeing what I'm seeing here, but he's telling me he seems to be around close to your age. His family also went on this expedition. He had a sister who, quote unquote, never came back.
Yeah, I got that part.
Cool. You were on that expedition?
Do we tell him?
I mean, at this point, it's kind of your call.
I'm going to look at the cat. For some sort
Wait. What's it called? John, are you there? Are you there right now, John?
Chester is going to...
just nod his head.
Yeah, just slowly nod. Mate, Josiah Parkins. Does that ring a bell?
Josiah Parsons?
Parsons, yeah.
I don't think that's a name that's familiar at all.
So, John, what do you think about all this? I'm pretty sure Asena is a Carrington.
Cat tries to do like a human version of a shrug.
Do we bring it up to him?
So you don't care about this at all, do you, Chester?
John's gonna try meowing at her, but like in cat talk.
What the?
I don't think
he wants to talk to us, Gaston.
I mean, yes. I don't speak cat, and I don't
talk.
Know if you can either. So
I could probably try.
In a good cat thing, he kind of said to the effect of press him on his sister. Also, why was Draken there? And I hope you can hear me, Asena.
I think I just understood cat.
What?
Philip looks over as you say that a little bit loud.
Never mind about that.
Pawing at her leg, meowing at her.
One more second. Asena, what did he say?
Draken guy asked, do your investigative thing on the Draken guy.
What about him? What does he want to know?
I don't know. He was only a couple meows.
Okay. Anything else?
He repeats, the sister.
Nothing else. Okay. He wants us to ask about the sister. Me? Or, don't
your
know.
Patients.
What?
Don't know.
The sister.
Oh, you mean you?
I think.
All right, well, we're going to roll with that.
I feel like that's going to be like
that's going to be a whole thing. Wow, you used the metaphor. Good job. Okay, so we're going to move. Yeah, okay.
Should we
all
ask
right.
him about the bomb? Ing. Bombing.
Oh God! Sorry, my internet is shitting itself right now.
The Mercury City bombing.
True. Literally the bomb. Good point. Not a metaphor. All right. That was, what, 10 months ago? Yeah, you probably know about that. All right. So I'm going to start with this.
I was 5 years old then. I cannot help you.
All right, Philip. Thank you for your patience. Don't worry about what she said just now. Question.
And then like pacing.
He looks at the cat suspiciously.
Yeah, anyway, so do you remember anything about your sister?
She was a couple of years older than me. You know, I'm sorry, I was 3, 2 when I knew her.
Pretty valid. Like just anything. Color of her hair, eyes. I know you were 3. This may seem very unreasonable, but I promise you it's important.
Nobody's ever asked this sort of thing before. I mean, it was all over the papers back in the day. We lost, you know, my father, but there were always reporters around. Nobody ever really... What do you want about?
So you are saying that you never even missed your sister?
I lost my father. I lost my sister. I was very young. The paparazzi were constantly harassing us. I never really got to know either of them.
Me,
mother, and grandfather ever since.
So are you saying your father died in the crash?
Yes.
And your sister?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe didn't.
What? What did you know about that?
I can't. She's just gonna look out the window again because she's just like.
The cat starts clawing its way up the side of Asena's leg to perch up on her shoulder.
Okay. All right.
Chester.
It's gonna chirp into her ear, and cat say, "Ask about the grandfather and mother. They must have mentioned something about Evelyn."
Okay. Long story short. We also are very curious about finding out more about your sister who passed on that day. Your mother, grandfather, is there a way we could be put in touch with them? Maybe they would know more because, of course, you were very young at the time.
I'm sure that can be arranged. You seem like good sorts. You seem to have good intentions. You're working for the better good of the people, but you are asking an awful lot of old and very personal questions.
Yeah.
What's your intent?
I have some personal interest in the Zolkuin expedition. And I just have a bunch of questions to see how I could be related to the incident, personally. So I know that it is, we just met and we keep asking you tons of questions about your family and this very traumatic thing that happened when you were very, very young. But, I just kind of thought that you were... got a little excited. You're a safe guy to talk to.
Roll a persuasion check, Asena, with advantage.
Okay.
Ooh. Pulling at those brownies. Get Carrington to feel safe. Oh, yeah.
15. Okay. He looks at you and he says, "Well, I'm working very closely with Jasmine, with my mother, on Tomorrow Town. And I'm sure that I could arrange a meeting. And as for grandfather, he'll take any opportunity to talk about Zolkuin antiquity. I could arrange an introduction. I'd be happy to."
Cool.
That would be lovely, especially grandfather. Because we've been investigating this.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well,
and I... Yeah. And...
You guys, I so wish I was there. I can read minds. I literally can read minds, man.
I'm so glad you're not here.
And there's also one name I really don't recognize. Draken Devries, am I saying that right?
Draken DeVry.
Draken DeVry.
Treasure hunter, adventurer. He's been active for the last, he must have been a young man at the time. Yeah, he'd be 38 now. So he was 20. No, he's got it. No, he would have had to. He was like 16, 17 during the expedition. Explorer, safari, that sort of thing. He was our pilot and our navigator on the expedition, I remember. And now he's a big shot. By the way, Gaston, Foster Talon had a note about Draken DeVry. He was seen in the company of a woman labeled N.A., who is a suspect for being one of the Angel Killers.
Oh. Is there...
He's an international explorer, adventurer, relic hunter.
Uh-huh.
Gentleman, playboy, explorer, adventurer sort of thing. He's got a bit of a rough reputation. He likes to be the first to get everything. You know, he's always, as you see, Dr. Jones, there's nothing you possess and I cannot take away.
He sucks.
What was his role in the expedition?
He was our navigator and our pilot. He was the one
but
guiding
not a
us.
Good one if it went down.
That's fair
how,
to say.
Can I ask why it crashed?
Terrible storm. Meteor shower? Something along those lines.
Oh, right. The comet.
Yeah. Yeah, we did figure that out very recently. Okay. I'm trying to think of how to segue in the Mercury City bombing at this point.
Also, Chester the John will cat talk. Natalie Adams is the actress. Or the dame, rather.
What dame? I don't know what you guys are talking about.
That's all he says.
Does Natalie Adams ring a bell to you?
Oh, yeah, that starlet that he's been... No, she's a financier. Yeah, she's in finance. Absolutely. I've crossed paths. We go to a lot of the same parties. She's hanging off of Draken's shoulder more often than not. Maybe it's the other way around, actually.
Maybe they're together.
They are certainly seen in the same company frequently. No, she inherited a great deal of money from her old folks and then made a fortune of her own. Speculation, business investment, deal-making, that sort of thing.
Huh. Just because it's Philip and he might react to this kind of thing, John's mm-hmm. going to meow-meow, ask him what he thinks her greatest sin is.
What's her vice?
Her? Oh.
Or you? With you know every? I don't know.
Do you mean sin?
I wasn't trying to say that out loud.
I liked the way you did it this time. That was great.
Philip goes silent. Roll insight, both of you.
And me? I'm there, yeah?
Yes.
I mean, I'm kind of there. I'm not really there. I'm a cat.
More there than me, clearly.
It's like the cat lawyer, except the exact opposite. You are a cat.
Your Honor, here's the thing. I am a cat, but I'm also, like, a person. You have to believe me. I feel like Gaston is, like, present, but also constantly running through calculations about how to make that diving suit work.
Yeah, that's why he's a little distracted. He's thinking about the technical challenge. Okay, the moment Gaston said the word sin, Asena, you notice Philip completely changed. He's looking between the two of you. He's guarded. He's worried. He tenses up. He looks like he maybe is about to defend himself, or at least he's not sure.
Oh, God. Guess don't kill him.
What?
Look, if anything, Asena kill him, right? Like,
Is there any light in the room, by the way?
Yeah, there's light. It's big open windows in the back.
Okay.
I
can tell that he's getting heated, and this is a very tense situation. And I'm just gonna say, I might be a sister.
What?
Here, let me backpedal and like take this situation down a notch. Also, I might be your sister, dude.
There's de-escalation, and there's quick. Let's just escalate it off of a different cliff.
Yeah. I know I've been asking a lot of questions, but I grew up in the jungle, and there was this wreckage, and it was my home, and I didn't think anything of it until I saw a photograph. I came to Northport, and I saw a photograph of it, and that's why I came here, and I'm just trying to figure it out, and you were on there too, and now I don't know. If you had a missing sister, it might be me.
Oh my god.
All right. He stares at you. Gaston, do you react at all? Do you do anything?
Just say I probably just fuck it. We're in this, we're doubling down, and I'll probably just tell him like, "Yeah, that's more than likely true. Your family went to that expedition into Zolquia, right? And well, that's where she's from, and that's where she's lived since she was very young, and she has some memories, it sounds like, of the events leading up to this expedition, events that you're basically confirming now, so although we weren't going to say anything today, she could be your sister.
I missed the memo.
I mean, you know what? That's my fault. You're right.
John meows, and with that, tell me how this goes. And he's busy getting a car back.
He's literally just like, fuck this.
Like, I'm checking out of this conversation.
The camera pans from that to John hanging from like the sort of things you use to tie down luggage at the top of a 5-rack metal shelf behind a cage where they keep all the evidence in lockup. He's like strapped himself into the ceiling. He's hanging from it. He's got a screwdriver in his teeth. In one hand, he has a gallon of vinegar. In the other hand, he's got a mop as he executes phase 5 of the plan.
Oh my god.
Godspeed, John.
As Philip is about to respond, you can hear footsteps down the hall.
Oh, of course. Yep. Now they come back.
And as he's about to open his mouth and say something, the door swings open and Hara enters the room. She scans everybody with a keen eye, clearly aware that something is going down. She pulls up a chair next to Philip without asking, as he sits there staring at Asena, trying to process this information, and she looks right at Gaston. I've been informed you have a technical challenge of some sort.
Yeah, that would be quite accurate.
What are the details?
Well, the long and short of it is we have a gifted currently in my lab / place of residence in a pod. She can't be out in the world, if you will, at the moment. Problem is her powers have something to do with darkness, and based on the notes of, and I'm hoping this doesn't surprise you, as I hope Opal has filled you in, Dr. Zorbius's notes have also detailed this, and it seems that if she's not in this pod surrounded by this liquid, she will phase out into existence, and that is kind of a problem. So part of what I was telling Opal is, and also Philip, is that I need more of this substance so that I can construct some sort of suit, just something that will allow her to actually be able to interact with the world, maybe get a handle on her power so that she can live relatively normally.
Hmm. Yeah.
I'll require access to all of Dr. Zorbius' notes, as well as your own observation, as well as direct observation of the patient.
I can do that.
Good. How soon?
Today.
Good. She stands up, looks over at Philip, looks over at Asena, squints, looks over at the cat, and walks out. And Philip just sits there the entire time, and you can see his brain is boiling. He doesn't say a word to Hara. He's just acting like she doesn't exist for a moment, hoping she won't notice that he exists until she steps back out.
On her way out, I'm gonna squint back at her.
Once her back is turned, right?
Yeah.
Roll an insight check, Asena.
Where'd it go? Okay.
All right. I was sorry. I was just reading Matt's real plan that does not involve a rubber chicken, an eggplant, and a car battery.
I am modifying the plan. Pray I do not alter it further.
All right. Asena, as you squint back at her, you see her shoulders shake just the slightest. Like a quiet... You're not sure what it was. You just sort of... Like her shoulders bounced for a moment, and then she walks back out of the room.
Weird.
I'm supposed to believe... What? Philip responds to you.
Yeah. Crazy to me, too. That's why we should probably go talk to your grandfather.
Grandma, it's me, Anastasia.
Okay. Maybe instead we should talk to my mother.
Wouldn't be a bad first step.
Whatever you think is best. I mean, you know them. I don't.
Okay. Are you willing to sit down and just talk with him? Everything that you've discovered so far, all the information you have about the airship, and so on and so forth?
Yeah. Cat's kind of out of the bag, so to speak.
This is a pretty great lead.
Yeah, getting him to trust us was also make this a second bird with this one very crazy Asana-shaped stone.
What, did you want him asking about the other shit?
It's more like a boulder, really.
No. So, good pivot.
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay.
He gets up and paces back and forth as you're talking, going over the photo that you found, which you are, none of the children are in that photo. Only the adults are in that photo. But he can identify all the individuals.
Hey.
In that picture. And it lines up with what he described. Mr. and Mrs. Donahue, parents of Opal, who was orphaned during that expedition. His father, Augustine Carrington. His mother was not on the expedition. Josiah Parson and Draken DeVry. He points out every single one of them by name. He knows, he's able to put a... Now you folks know, all these individuals were supposedly involved with the Army of the Eclipse. Since the Army of the Eclipse was the group that launched the expedition in the first place. What else do you want, aside from, hey, can we talk to your mom, what else do you want to ask him or bring up?
I'm kind of wondering if he's at this point now where he can, like, at the very least slip up and tell us stuff about the eclipse and kind of ask him questions of, like, what was this expedition about? Mm-hmm. Who was it for? This is a lot of, you know, seemingly random high-class families getting together into a random far-off Amazonian country. Like, what's going on here?
Okay, so you're going to try to get him talking, right?
Yeah.
That's a good tract. Pick a skill that applies. And Asena, feel free to pick a skill that also applies to just getting him to either drop things on accident or slowly gets him to open up. And I want each of you to make rolls on that. In the meantime...
Persuasion? Does that work?
I would definitely allow persuasion.
Okay.
Matt, just burn the spell points for the time being for the spells you're casting to get this back.
Already did. Thanks, bud.
Excellent. And Asena, what skill can you lend to this? It, what skills would apply
not
to
intimidating him?
So kind of a little bit.
Intimidation, like, doesn't have to be, I'm gonna break you, I'm gonna shoot you in the face. Intimidation can just be like bullying or just insisting, you know, taking a really strong approach to something. But it doesn't actually have to be
being Hara
or existing in the room and being Hara.
Okay, I'll do that one then.
I feel like intimidation is the mom stare. You don't even have to, like, threat. You just, like, stare really hard and everyone knows, oh, wow, don't mess with the 1,000-yard mom stare.
Just won't let up on my questions.
You hit him with the, I'm not mad.
I'm just disappointed.
All right. So, Philip, this is not how he expected his day to go. He,
covered in cat hair, you know.
Here's the thing. He, Asena, you look familiar to him, but the eyes are wrong. There are two young girls who went missing on that expedition. There was his sister, Evelyn, and there was Opal's sister, Rose. Now, you don't have Opal's eyes either, so he's not sure what the case is.
What if the two girls fused together? Or but, something crazy? What?
But you do need to consider that. Not
it's
the
not
fusing
on the table.
Thing. It's not off the table. It's entirely theoretically possible. Okay. Philip denies ever being a part of the Army of the Eclipse. He was never inducted. But he was trained.
Oh?
I was taught at Sacred Mysteries, but never... my mother didn't want me being a part of that. She wanted to protect me from it. She wanted to keep it safe. Something horrible happened. I'm too young to remember the details, but something awful happened. Something happened. It killed my father. It killed Josiah Parsons, died. It killed several people, and it changed the world for the worse. Something evil entered this world. I know that the Army of the Eclipse didn't go there to cause that. They had a grand purpose, the enlightenment of humanity, the dawn of a new age, the birth of a new generation. But something went wrong. And I don't want you to talk to my grandfather about it, because I don't know if we can trust him. But...
oh.
Okay, but then what does that have to do with Mercury City Hospital? This grand purpose of theirs.
Okay, that I don't know all the details of that, but the Army of the Eclipse changed after the expedition. They used to be dedicated to protecting this world, understanding its mysteries, and enlightening all of humanity. They completely shifted. They had new leaders. I don't know any of them. I was a kid. There's a reason that my mother kept me away from that, and that she left, and that my grandfather left. They were both in it, but they had nothing to do with the bombing.
Okay.
They were out by then.
Who's Josiah Parson?
He was our spiritual leader. He was our guide. He was one of the most wise members of the society when he died. He was the most steeped in its mysteries and in the teachings of the ancient days. He's the one who predicted the new dawn and the change of humanity. He was the one who led everybody there. Not Draken led us physically, but Josiah led us spiritually. And he still does.
In what sense?
My mother is in contact with his spirit. Tomorrow Town isn't just a fancy new modern living space. It's going to form a protective barrier that will save all of Northport from whatever evil stepped through the veil. Whatever evil the last generation accidentally brought into this world. It's going to channel and focus the energy, the thoughts and hopes of all the people of Northport when it's complete. And it's going to shield us from that otherworldly power, whatever came from beyond. Josiah Parsons is the one, the architect of it. Well, I mean, I'm the architect, but he's the one guiding us to make sure that it becomes more than just a physical utopia, but a spiritual nexus.
In before the spirit of Josiah is Ralzamon. But anyway, wow. That is a lot. When can we meet with your mother? Because I feel like we should explore this.
Yeah, we should go. We should go.
Now? Okay.
I'll cancel my plans.
Okay. Only thing is, I need to go back to my lab and send Hara all of my notes. Because I said I would do that today. And I don't think she likes missing deadlines.
Let's split up, gang.
No, she's not a fan. Not a fan of missing deadlines. She insists on punctuality.
Yeah, I got that vibe. Okay.
As he mentions hurrying to meet Jasmine as soon as possible, he looks over at you, Asena.
Yeah. So, does this mean I'm going alone? I can bring my cat, right?
He looks suspiciously at the cat. The cat looks disinterestedly back at him, as cats are wont to do. And he shrugs and says, sure, bring the cat. And he brushes some purple and blue fur off of his leg.
Okay.
So, what's the plan? Asena and Philip are going to go meet Jasmine. Gaston is going to go back to the laboratory to get all of his notes and such for Hara. And John is going to continue, is going to get the car and then go and then meet up with the rest of the party after that?
I guess so.
Do we all meet up at wherever this person's house is?
Jasmine Carrington has a penthouse. I will point it out on the map. Philip is able to point you in the right direction. Ben Grimm of Carmichael and Carmichael already had this information. That's not his real name, obviously. That's the name that John gave him.
That's his name. It's his name.
he has his own name, which he has not shared yet. But anyways, in Newton, the fancy finance district, Jasmine Ruiz Carrington has her own place. It's actually really close to your laboratory.
Yeah.
It's just like you're in the Harbor District and she's more in the fancy Newton. So...
I feel like John can just, like, pull up the car and, you know, make that happen.
What time of day is it?
Oh, we're in narrative time. What time would you like it to be?
I would very much like it to be early in the morning because it would just make no sense for me to go to the lab back here and then to Jasmine Carrington's estate. Yep. You know, okay.
No, that's
and
fine.
Then I guess hopefully I can make it back here by the end of the day to give the notes.
I'm sure that can be arranged. Or, I mean, if Philip goes back that way, he can take them for you. Your call.
That would be fine.
All right. Well, team, I think we're going to go ahead and end things for tonight here. John is able to reestablish contact with... John peels out in an alley behind the car, shooting at somebody while his mage hand takes the wheel. He's hanging out of the back. The car is illusioned to look like an ambulance with its headlights out and a ice cream truck paint like painted on the side of it as he drives away from a very angry group of janitors' union enforcers.
Wow. My plan took a turn.
Yeah, phase three had some complications, but it's one of those things where, like, the camera's mostly on this conversation, and occasionally it cuts over, and there's no explanation of what happened or how it happened. You know, there's a pirate.
Spin-off series, like, 20 years later.
Mm-hmm. There's like pirates in a trolley chasing him for no adequately explained reason. It's wild. There's a monkey. Nobody knows where the monkey came from. It's in the trunk. So we're going to go ahead and call it here. I'm going to say that through Cat-O-Vision, you're all able to convey that you will be meeting up either at Gaston's laboratory or at Jasmine's apartment in Newton. Does that work for everybody?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We have an act of God on the table. I don't know if I'm satisfied with how I've spent it yet, so... Oh no, I just came up with an idea. Okay, cool.
Okay.
All right. Tune in next time, everybody.
Would you like any input or you got this covered?
No, I'm good. I'm covered. Everything's good.
Okay.
So thank you everyone for tuning in. Join us next week on Coriander Society Adventures. Good night.
Bye.
Bye.
The story continues next time on Coriander Society Adventures. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a 5-star review on the podcast platform of your choice. For more Casters and Castles adventures, visit our live stream at twitch.tv/castersandcastles.